Good evening. Good to be with you again on this beautiful Lord's Day. I want to explore with you for a few minutes this evening the words of a popular prayer. It's a prayer that I've been familiar with the first phrase of this prayer, but I really wasn't that familiar with the rest of it. And I want to look at some of the thoughts that are expressed in this prayer because they are beautiful, biblical, spiritual thoughts that I think have very, very truthful, very encouraging for me. Maybe you've heard it before. It's called the Serenity Prayer. And it begins with this phrase: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. So beginning at the title, serenity. Peace. I think peace is something that all of us want. Sometimes it's lacking in our lives with everything that's going on. We live in a hectic world. It's always been a hectic world, I think, but especially so, I think, today. I mean, we've always had things going on in our lives, problems going on around us, our families, our jobs. People of all times have had those problems, but there's so much more that consumes us today. We look at the news, we get on the TV, we look at our cell phones, look at the internet. We know every horrible thing that's going on in the world right now. And it can consume us if we dwell on that. It can rob us of serenity, rob us of peace. We're just immersed in it 24 hours a day if we allow that to happen. So how do we deal with it? How do we find this serenity, this peace? Philippians chapter 4 gives us a hint to that. Philippians chapter 4, I think it's a familiar passage to us. Paul's speaking there in Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So give these cares, these worries, these anxieties, give them to God. He's there. He can help us with those things if we let him take those things from us. Go to God in prayer. Give him our cares and our worries. And then it says, accept what I can't change. We need to learn to accept the things that we cannot change. Most of the things that we come across in life, most of the things we hear about in the news, we can't change those. We can't make a difference in what's going on the other side of the world, other than by prayer. So we shouldn't be anxious about those things. We need to learn not to be anxious about those things, not to be happy with them, not to be concerned, not to pray about them, but not let them consume us with worry and anxiety, things that we cannot change. Don't be anxious about the things that we can't change. But then it says, the courage to change what I can. So there are things right under our noses that we can do something about. Things that we can make a difference in. People that we can help. Problems that we can make some attempt to solve. There's a thing that I think about sometimes, personally, and that is that there are sometimes I come across a situation that I don't know what to do. What am I going to do about this situation? What can I do? But more often I find that I know what I can do. I know what I can do to help in this situation, but I lack the courage to actually do it. So, the courage to change what I can. Sometimes it takes courage. Some of the things we face in life are really difficult, really ugly, really unpleasant to deal with, and it takes courage. So where do we find the courage to do the things that are right there that we can help with? God can help us. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, another one of those familiar passages. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We need to remember that God is with us. He's there to help us, to give us the courage and the strength that we need to deal with the things that we face every day. Again, in Psalm 73, Psalm chapter 73, Psalm chapter 73 and verse 26, Psalmist says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." God is our strength. God can give us the strength and the courage that we need to face these difficult times. And then finally, in that beginning phrase, "God grant me wisdom to know the difference." To know the difference between those things that I can't do anything about and the things that I can help with. God, help me to know. How do we gain that wisdom that we need to make that discrimination, to make that discernment? James chapter 1 says, if you lack wisdom, pray. Pray to God, and He will give you the wisdom that you need. And then, of course, God gives us wisdom through His Word. In Psalm 110, Psalm 110 and verse 10, Psalm 110 and verse 10, Psalm 111 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever." So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we have a fear of God, a respect for Him, a love for Him, and a love for His Word, then we can gain that wisdom by looking into His Word. And finally, wise counsel. God can give us wisdom through wise counsel from the people around us. I was interested in Proverbs chapter 23. It begins with our parents. Proverbs chapter 23. We have good, godly parents. They can give us wisdom. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." So our parents can give us wisdom as they're raising us, bringing us up. And then, of course, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, people who can give us the wisdom that we need if we go to them and get counsel from them. Again, in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." So God has all these different ways that He can give us the wisdom that we need to make these decisions about what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And involved in all of that, I think, is this, is knowing when to let go. We deal with situations all the time that are difficult and they don't seem to be going anywhere. When do you let go? When do you say, that's enough? I'm going to step away from this. I'm going to leave this in the hands of God and let Him take over. Obviously, He's been guiding you all along, but at some point, we need to know when to let go, when to step back. So the next phrase in this prayer, another one that really hit home with me, living one day at a time. living one day at a time. I think probably my superpower is worry and anxiety. I am not satisfied with worrying about what's going on today. I need to look to the future and worry about that. And not just things that are going to, I need to invent things that are going to happen, worst case scenarios, and then worry about those and let those things eat at me. And that's my superpower, I think. And it's fine to plan for the future. In Proverbs chapter 6, we're told to look to the ant, prepare for the future. But don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. Just remember that God will take care of you. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaking there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, Jesus said, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Isn't that true? Each day has enough trouble of its own. So don't be anxious and worry about what's going on tomorrow. Plan for it if you have to, but don't be anxious about it. There's a quotation from from Mark Twain that I really like, and it goes like this. He said, "I am an old man, and I have seen many troubles, most of which never happened." I really like that. So living one day at a time. But then it goes down even deeper than that. It says, enjoying one moment at a time. Narrowing it down to each moment of the day. So think about what worry does to us. Think about all the good things in your life, the good people around you, and what worry does when you are consumed by it. We lose sight of all those good things in our worry and our anxiety. We lose the joy that God really wants us to have because we're focused on this one horrible thing that's going on in our lives. Nehemiah chapter 8. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the people had rebuilt the temple, and they were depressed. This temple just didn't look like the one in Jerusalem. Wasn't as pretty. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, in verse 10, the people were told, "Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him that has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. God wants us to have joy, to be joyful. And when we worry too much about things, it steals that joy from us. Again, makes us lose sight of all the good things going on around us. Next phrase of this prayer is accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. This one is hard to digest. Accepting hardship. It's not a pleasant thing when things are not going right in our lives, when we're having hardships, sorrows, griefs, difficulties. How can that possibly be good? It's difficult to grasp that concept. And I think this realization usually comes to us afterwards, after we've gone through something and come out the other side, and we look back and say, there was really some good in that. There was some benefit in suffering like I have. Because hardships, if they're handled properly, can make us turn to God for the comfort and the strength that we need, and can be helpful in that way. Psalm 119 has some things to say about suffering that I think are very helpful. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." And in verse 71, he says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes," turning to God in times of hardship. And in 75, "I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." So So affliction can be good for us. Hardships can be good for us if we handle them the right way, if they cause us to turn to God. And then, of course, there's that idea in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2 about the benefit of going to the house of mourning rather than to the house of feasting, because it reminds us of the brevity of life and what our true purpose in this life is. So, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. And then following that, the prayer says, taking as he did this sinful world. So looking to Jesus, looking to the example of Jesus when we're facing hardship. Look at the example of Jesus that we find in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Look to the example of Jesus and all that he suffered and how he handled it, so that we won't get weary, so that we won't lose heart. Take the example of Jesus. Next in the prayer, we find this phrase, trusting that he will make things right. Trusting God that however bad things are, just remember, God's going to take care of it. God can take care of it. Paul has something to say about this in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Paul says there, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. Wait on the Lord. He'll take care of it in his own way, in his own time. This idea of waiting on the Lord, I think, is just so important in Psalms. Again, going back to the Psalms, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, in verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And in Psalm 37, similar idea. Psalm 37 and verses 7 and 8, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Wait on the God. Wait on God. Let him take care of it. And it continues that phrase, trusting that he will make things right if I surrender to his will. If I surrender to his will. Humility and submission are so important in our relationship with God. If we want him to help us, if we want him to forgive us, cleanse us, we have to have humility and submission. The humility to accept that we can't do it ourselves and submitting to his will, doing what he tells us to do. James chapter 4 and verse 10 tells us, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Humble ourselves before God. And then finally, at the end of the prayer, we find this phrase, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life. That's an interesting phrase, reasonably happy. I don't know anybody who is completely happy in this life. There's always something. But if we find the peace that only God can give, if we learn not to worry about things that we can't change, If we try to live one day and one moment at a time, if we learn to accept hardship and grow from it, and if we learn to trust God, submit to His will, and wait for Him to act, then we can be reasonably happy in this life. Paul learned this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. He had said he had learned to be content with whatever life brought to him because he was looking to the future. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, we can take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. So, being content with what God has given us. And then that idea of being reasonably happy in this life, the prayer concludes with this. So reasonably happy in this life, but supremely happy with Him forever and ever in the next. So if we learn to humble ourselves before God, to obey His will, to live our lives in obedience to Him, we can be supremely happy with Him in heaven. But that journey to heaven has a beginning. It begins when we give our lives to Christ, when we learn about Him, when we confess our sin, confess our faith in Him, repent of our sins, and when we are baptized and have our sins washed away, and then begin to live a life for Christ. Just a moment, Ryan is going to lead us in singing the hymn, "It Is Well," as an invitation. "It is well with my soul." If you want it to be well with your soul, then reflect on your condition. If you haven't been baptized and become a child of Christ, then it can be well with your soul too. Or if you are a Christian and things aren't going right in your life, you have sins that need to be taken care of, it can be well with your soul as well. Whatever your case, let it be known to us as we stand and sing.